All righty, well, praise the Lord. I forgot to turn on my microphone in Sunday school, so I'm going to do it now, and maybe you'll be able to hear me then, though I've never had anybody say they have any trouble hearing me. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Psalms in chapter number 10, Psalms chapter 10 and verse number 17. I said in Sunday school, when I go different places, and I go a myriad of different places and preach, there's always different thoughts as you may have, and I really seek the Lord for what he'd have me to preach, and talked about in Sunday school, talked about Isaac and Rebekah, primarily looking at Rebekah as a type of the church and things that we can glean from that. And then the Lord actually, as I studied and prepared, gave me this evening's message first, and I said, well, it don't work that way, Lord. I got plenty of time to study. Now I said, you need to give me Sunday morning. I don't want to wake up early. So then, but through the course of my studying, I had some thoughts and some things I wanted to preach about, and I've been real big on preaching the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ lately and looking at the circumstances and the things that are going on around us. And I was in Matthew chapter 23 and 24. I was looking at 24 and a lot of the things that were going on. I wanted to preach that, and then I rolled back in a little bit to 23, and it was talking about hypocrites and Pharisees and woes, and I thought, well, man, that'd be a good time. I'd love to preach that, and began to write some sermons and gather some thoughts. And in the course of all that, the Lord brought me to what we're going to talk about this morning, which is not necessarily about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ or what I intended. It's actually an older sermon, and it's actually one of my first sermons that I ever preached, and God put it on my heart that this is what I was to preach. And I thought, why this? And I assume that there's somebody that would need the help from this today. And I don't say things like that often, but it's odd that the Lord would drive me or lead me to this sermon. But I want to talk today about how to obtain your desires. And again, too, you'll see where I'm going with this in just a moment. If you'll stand with me for the readings of God's word. Stand if you're able. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 10 and verse number 17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare thy heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you'd meet with us, Lord. We ask that you'd hear us, Lord. I'm nothing without you. None of us are, God. And Lord, we need your Holy Ghost in this place, Lord, to bless and to anoint, Lord, not me, Lord, but to anoint and to use your word, God. It is where the power is. It is the effectiveness, Lord. I believe that there's somebody here today, Lord, that needs to hear from heaven, Lord. I believe we all need to hear from heaven, God. But whatever the work is that you want to do, Lord, I ask that you would do it, Lord. And I just thank you for giving me an opportunity to serve you, Lord. And we'll give all the honor and glory to whatever happens to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. So when I talk about your desires, I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not talking about the physical things. I'm not talking about diamond rings and Cadillac cars and those things that we may desire. You know, I desire a new Glock pistol, but I don't think I'm going to get one of them. You can't buy them anywhere. And my wife said I can't have one. So it's just off the board. These physical things that we desire, and you know, it's interesting because even though I would say that I desire a Glock pistol, if I was a psychologist and I have a little bit of training in that, I wouldn't tell you that that's what I desire. I would tell you what I desire is safety and security. We make physical manifestations of these different things, but it's not actually what we desire. And I think that we'll see that, and we see that in the lives of so many people. All around us, this world has this desire, and we see it in addicts, and we see it in alcoholics, and we see it in consumerism. How many of y'all, you get a desire for a thing? I like catalogs, and I like looking at things on Amazon wish list. I keep making Amazon wish lists and sending them to my wife, and she keeps ignoring them. You know, me, brother, we share the same birthday. My birthday's coming up pretty soon, so if any of y'all would like me to send you the link for what I desire for my birthday, I would be very glad to do that. But we desire these things, and there's really always an element of something beneath that. You know, I look at a knife, and I think that would be a wonderful knife, but the desire that I have is something deeper. I think it'll give me a sense of purpose. I think it'll give me a fulfillment. I think it'll give me some kind of thing. But then what do? I buy that instrument or that tool or that knife or that gun or that sewing kit or those makeup. I don't buy makeup. I'm just trying to relate to you ladies here. And I buy some of these things, and then what do with them? Put them in a drawer somewhere and never even obtain this fulfillment that I thought that I was going to obtain. And oftentimes with other things, and those, again, too, maybe those people who struggle with addictions and other things, gambling and overeating and all these other different kind of things, not only do we not pursue or not obtain what we desire, then we also receive guilt and shame. And so we get tied up in our desires. But again, when we seek the Lord and He gives us the desire, He gives us the desires of our heart. And again, we'll probably see that verse come up. And we think about that. And again, too, I've made double application of that verse in my life, that He does give us the things that our heart desires. And He's been very, very good to me in physical things. And He's also then given me not what my heart desires, but He's given me the desires of my heart. He's changed my desires. You know, it's interesting, I was, again, talking about the pistol, and I do like guns, and I enjoy them, and yesterday we were out shooting them, and I was having a good time, and but as that was going on, I left, and I was driving home, and I don't tell you this to sound really spiritual, because I'm not, you can ask my wife, she'd tell you, but I began to have a desire, I began to get excited to go home and study my Bible. I thought, man, I'm a weirdo. You know, you ever think, I'm going to go home and sit in my basement and study my Bible. That'd just be the best time in the world. And you know what? I got down in my basement, and I opened up my Bible, and it was the best time in the world. I enjoyed it. I was fulfilled. I didn't think, well, I would really like to study my Bible. And when I got home and I did that, I wasn't disappointed. You know, when I see the things on Amazon and I see the things in the catalogs, the things that I think that I desire, and you get those things and you look at it and you say, this didn't fulfill me. This was a waste of my time or my money. And so often those things also come with shame and regret. I've never felt ashamed of the amount of time that I spent in the Word of God. I've never regretted reading my Bible. And again, I don't tell you that so you would think, oh, this guy's so spiritual and he just gets excited about reading his Bible. I'm sharing that with you because I want to share that with you. I want you to be excited to read your Bible. I want you to desire to read your Bible. I promise you, you'll never walk away from this book feeling ashamed. In of the sense that there's an answer to the shame that you feel. Sometimes I read the Bible and I feel ashamed, like, man, God, I can never live up to this, and I can never do that, and why do I feel this way, and why do I struggle with these things? And then God shows me, and God gives me the answer, and then God begins to continue to move and work in my life and give me the desires of my heart, and I move further and further away from the foolishness and the vanity and the physical things, and I begin to desire those spiritual things like we talked about in Sunday school. Again, Rachel had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and one Jacob representing the spirit and Esau representing the flesh, and Rebecca loved Jacob. And again, too, we begin as we walk closer and closer with God. And the only way that you can walk with God is to be in the Word and to desire Him and to seek Him. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the sermon to come. But then you begin to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to love the book, and you begin to love the fellowship of the saints, and you become increasingly fulfilled. And again, that is what we need so much in this world this day, is fulfilled, vibrant, powerful Christians, because that's what the world needs to see. Because the world is full, again, we all know this, and I believe we've all experienced this, and again, I minister and talk to people, even in my own family, who have these desires in their heart, and they think they need fulfillment, and they think they need education, and they think they need a career, and all these people are then scrambling and grabbling at these things, and their true desire is to know the Creator God. I believe that desire is in every person born on this earth, is a desire. They talk about a God-shaped hole in your heart, and I believe there's some truth to that thing, that God loves His creation, and then God made each and every one of us to have that fellowship, to have that walk with Him in the cool of the evening in the garden. And I believe that's what everyone desires. I believe that's what everyone desires, and they fill it with all kinds of other mess, and they not obtain the fulfillment of their desires. Ask any addict, ask any alcoholic, ask anyone who gets involved in any kind of social, political movement. There's no fulfillment in these things. The only fulfillment that we can find is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day that you can find that fulfillment. Today is the day. And Christian, I spoke about it in Sunday school. When we get saved, I always think about the phrase in the Bible, know ye not. I think a lot of Christians fall under that, know ye not. They don't know. They don't know the gifts and the things that have been given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know what they already possess. They don't. These things aren't meant. These things, you don't get these things from going to Bible college. You don't get these things from getting baptized. You don't get these things from doing your daily devotions. You receive whatever we receive at the moment of salvation from the Holy Ghost of God. And for some reason, we just don't seem to know it. And I've been there and done that. And again, too, as we study the Word and these things, then you don't earn these things. These things are then made manifest to you. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit grows in you and then pops out. It's like we're getting ready to have fall, and we've been watching things, and we have different plants and different things in our yard, and they don't look like much, and then a little flower pops out, or a little strawberry pops out, or a little cherry pops out, or a little, and you're like, what in the world's been going on all this time? It's been buried under dirt. And that's the same thing that goes on in our spiritual life. You're like, what's been going on this whole time? It's been buried under your dirt. Because that's all that we are, is sacks of dirt, and the fruit's going to pop out. But here, so we want to look at and talk about these desires. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare thy heart. That will cause thine ear to hear. Another familiar passage on these desires and asking. And again, that's the first thing that we got to do, is we got to ask. James chapter 4 and verse number 1 says this, from whence comes war and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Again, we've spoke about that war, those desires that go on us. Ye lust and have not. And again, too, I've been in this world, and even, too, we struggle with the flesh and those things. We lust, and we often just use that word in the connotation of physical relationships, but I believe it's much, much broader than that. And we lust for these things. We lust for peace, and we lust for peace of mind, and we lust for all these other different things, and you don't have it. And you don't have it. And again, too, because we're looking for it in all the wrong places and trying to manifest it in all the wrong ways. And he goes on here and he says this, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain, ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. I always encourage people, just ask. Just ask. Sometimes that's not what we're doing. And again, sometimes we come with this false humility and we think, because it says be humble. And I was meditating and thinking on, you know, when we talk about come boldly before the throne of grace, how do you humbly, boldly do something? You know, the Bible is, how do you humbly, boldly come? You do it by not coming on any merits of your own. That's the humble part. God, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. It's not because I went to Sunday school. It's not because I read my Bible. It's not because I done the, it's nothing about me, but I can boldly come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's, and my boldness is in Christ, and that's when I come before the throne. That's how you're humble and bold at the same time. But you have to ask. You have to ask. You won't, what is it, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We need to ask God for these things. We need to ask God for the desires of our heart. And, you know, again, too, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God for physical things. And He may or may not give you those things. But you know what I found oftentimes when I begin to ask God for physical things? And sometimes He does, and sometimes He blesses me in amazing ways. And sometimes He just blesses me and gives me the grace to see how foolish that I was. And I'm content with such things as I have. And that's even better than getting the thing that I thought that I wanted. It's good. But you got to ask. You think that's just so simple. Sometimes we miss the simple parts. Sometimes we're going and we're doing and we're striving and we're doing everything in our energy and our efforts and our powers when all we got to do is ask. It's like your kids opening the popsicles. Our kids are, I love popsicles. I eat like 3 or 4 a day. And I make my wife buy them by the big case. I'm going to Costco for my birthday. I get to go, and I'm going to see how big of a box of popsicles I can get. That's my one goal. I'm going to get the big, I like the ones in the plastic wrappers that you bite with your teeth and you shouldn't, and then you hurt yourself. But I mean, you ever watch your kids try to open them? I watch anybody try to open them. It's hard and difficult. And my kids are sitting there and they're biting, they're going to chip a tooth and all this other. And I said, just let me open it for you. And you just get the little scissors, because they can't even work scissors. I don't know what it is with kids. They can't do nothing. Just ask, and I'll open that for you. Give me one while you're at it, but just ask. I don't want to watch my kids, and I want them to learn. I don't want to do everything for them. I think you all understand the point that, but God's not that way. He doesn't, He's not trying to teach you a lesson. The lesson He's trying to teach you is just ask. Just ask, and He'll help you. And again, too, that's really the basis of my ministry and my walk with God and my being a father and my being a husband is I can't. That again, that's that humility. God, I can't. I need you to help me. I need you to help me be a husband. I need you to help me be a father. I need you to help me stop being the miserable, lazy dirtbag that I am. And he says, that's exactly what I'm here for. Because it made me think too, and I've seen it on a number of church signs recently, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number, I believe it's 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and call. And that's the favorite verse for the time of national disasters. And again, too, I don't know about you, I desire for the coronavirus situation to be over. And I desire our nation not to fall to pieces. And I desire for us not to descend into racial and civil unrest. I desire that. And again, I believe the only thing that can remedy all that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that I should talk to the Lord about that. My kids, they talk about it every time when they pray at supper. They'll say goofy things, how kids often do. And then they'll say, please let the coronavirus be over. Oh, that's all right. I again, just that simple. Just God. I can't do it. I can't make a vaccine. I don't know what's going on in the world here. Lord, you're going to have to do something about this. He's going to have to do all something about all of this, whatever this may be. And there's quite a bit of it these days. And every day, really. Last year, in 2019, everybody acts like, oh, this is the worst things I've ever been, and we can't do anything in the world. The world's always a mess. You can't ever do nothing. Even if the coronavirus goes away, your life will still be a mess, and your kids will still be a mess, and your job will still be a mess, and you'll still feel these ways, and all these things will still be going on. And you'll continue to do it in your own energies and your own efforts, and you'll still continue to be frustrated and fruitless until you just ask. Until you humble yourself. And that's the hardest part about it. That takes humility to ask people for help. Thou will prepare thy heart. Thou will cause thine ear to hear. And I always like verses where he's talking about God's ear hearing. I was glad that God hears me and that he listens to me. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 4. Psalms 27 and verse number 4. The Bible says this, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All David wanted to do was go to church. That's what he said, that's all I desire. And again, too, that's a shift and that's a movement. And again, too, church isn't about just this building or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Are you on Friday nights? And I think you ought to be there for every service. I think it'll help you. I think it'll change your life. And again, too, all the things that we get involved in out in the world and all those things will come to naught. But the fellowship of the saints and the encouraging and the edifying one of another, I believe we ought to desire to be in church. And again, too, we've already learned already this year they took it away from us. They took it away from us for a couple months where people couldn't go to church. And now I think there's some people who are still using that as an excuse to lay out of church. I don't know if this is going out on the internet or not, but every time that I preach and it goes out on the internet and there's folks who are staying at home just because they're scared, not because they're scared, not because they have genuine concerns, but because they're lazy and fleshly and using this as an excuse to not go to church, I try to preach at them a little bit. So if you put this up later, that's for them. That's for you who's listening to this and you ought to be in church. And I think we need preaching, and I think we need those things. And again, the desire. But you know, it's an interesting thing about this desire that David had. He said, this is the one thing that I desire. All I want to do is go to church. All I want to do is dwell. All I want to do is behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that's about the one thing David never got in his life. All he wanted to do was dwell and see the fruition of what God had placed on his heart. That's all that he ever wanted. And that's the one thing that he didn't get. You know, it's interesting, I was thinking about old Abraham. I don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell us all what the desires of Abraham's heart was, but I believe one of them was to dwell in Canaan. I believe one of his desires was to inherit the land that God had promised to him and see that passed on to his generation after generation. I believe that was the desire of all the patriarchs, and I believe that's been the desire of many of the Jewish people for a long time, and a lot of them never got to see it. And isn't that amazing that we could have a desire that is good and godly and pure and never see that? But what, did David stop? Did David stop writing Psalms? Did David say, well, I prayed that God would give me the desire of my heart and all I wanted to do was to see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, but he don't let me, so I'm just going to sit around and poo-poo and cry and all that. No, what did old King David do? He made preparations for the desires, he kept on desiring it. And he said, I'm going, the moment that God allows me to enter in, to build his temple, to do these things, okay, God, you're not going to let me do it. You're going to let my son do it. And again, I'm never going to get to see it. I'm never going to get to do the one thing that I desire. I'm going to make preparation so my child can. Do you have a desire in your heart that you're so willing, that's so desired, that's what you seek to know and to see of the Lord? Again, your preacher already talked about making an investment in the next generation. I'd say that's what David did because he had a desire. I believe he put his money where his mouth is. He desired, he said, if I desire that, I want that's what my son to desire. I can't imagine that I'm the only person that desires that. Even though I'm never going to enjoy the fruits of that, I'm going to labor and I'm going to save and I'm going to make preparations so other people can enter into the thing that I desire of the Lord. That's pretty selfless of him. He could have just gone around and spent all the gold and silver and cedar wood and all the other different things we see. He could have just had himself a grand old. He said, I don't ever get to go to the temple. I don't get to enjoy those things. It's not about me, David. He said, it's not about me and what I desire. It's about what God desires. And it cost David. And it cost him. And it cost him. And he never got to enjoy the fruit of his labor, of his preparation, of any of those things. And we sometimes just we would desire for the church to get a new air conditioner because we want to sit in new air conditioning. Oh, sit and have a youth pastor or have this other thing or do this. Why would I desire that? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 38, and verse number 9. He had the right desire, and he was willing to pay the cost to see that desire come to fruition. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 38, and verse number 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, my groaning is not hid unto thee. And I got a little note, and this is actually one of my original notes. I actually preached this for Sunday school, for the College and Career Sunday School class. Again, one of the first sermons that I ever preached. My fellow named Brother Teja Rao asked me to preach a sermon, and I don't know why he did that, but I penciled this together and thought, hey, here we go. But one of the original in-pencil notes, because then I got fancy later on and bought some real expensive Bible pens, because you can't really do a good job writing sermons unless you got real expensive Bible pens. That's how you know you've arrived. This is just written in pencil. But I got written here in pencil, be real. Because he said, look what he says. And this is David. These are all David. We'll just look at the Psalms. He said, Lord, all my desire is before thee. And again, too, on Friday nights, if you come visit with us sometime, you'll probably hear Steve Currington say or somebody else say, all means all, and that's all that it means. All my desire. And I'm just imagining, and I do this in my personal prayer life, I share with God my desires that I'm not proud of, that I'm ashamed of, because he knows about them already. And I say, God, why do I desire these things? What area? And all my desires before thee, God. And I was listening. I said in Sunday school, I've been studying a little bit of rabbinical Judaism and listening to some Jewish rabbis and talk about different things. And he talked about, it's kind of the same concept, but he was talking about, we come to God and we say, oh, God, I want to know you and I want to follow your laws and I want to do all these things. And he said, no, you don't. He said, what is stopping you? I had a friend, he told me he was my AA sponsor when I went to AA a number of years ago. He called it wished you wanted to. You wished you wanted to. Because if you wished you desired that. God, I wish that I desired to know you better, but I really don't. God, I desire to eat popsicles and shoot guns. That's what I desire, God. But we come to God with these false premises. We're not real. We say, oh, God, I want to know the Bible. And, oh, God, I want to see these folks saved. And, God, I want to do. And no, you don't. It's the furthest thing from your mind. And you're all the way back here, but you're wallowing and you're in your self-righteousness. And you don't come back over here and say, God, this is what I really desire. Please help me with it. Because you'll never get to those desires until you deal with these desires. Again, it's that war, the flesh and the spirit. You say, this is what I desire. And I don't know about you, but I desire some stupid things. I desire some fleshly things. And I say, God, please help me with this. Not that I don't come to God and say, oh, I don't desire this, God, and I only desire you, and I just want to sing hymns, and I just want to study my Bible all the time, because that's not what I want. But I want to want that, and I want to get beyond wanting to want that. And again, too, in the context, when I talked about that, my AA sponsor said to me, he said, you don't want to be sober. You wished you wanted to be sober. You don't want to walk after the Spirit. You wished you wanted to. But that's a good start. And that may be where some of us are at. And if that's where you're at, be real and be honest and tell God that's where you're at. Like I was telling you, some of you probably, I was like, man, I was so excited. I was sitting in my car getting excited to go home and read my Bible. Some of you really honestly probably thought, man, that guy's a weirdo. I don't think I've ever wanted to go home and study my Bible. That's something you should probably deal with God about. You should probably wish that you wanted to. Again, too, and not because I do it, because this is the living word. This is the book that God gave to us. And if you don't desire to read it, that's okay. Just be honest. And then you'll obtain those desires. Be real. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid before thee. Again, too, David struggled with lust. David, I mean, he had all kinds of wives, and he had all kinds, and he looked on Bathsheba, and we know the story. I believe David struggled with these things. I believe, and again, too, all the other things that probably went along with being a king and all the powers he could abuse and all the other. I mean, he wasn't just, he could do anything that he wanted, literally, and he probably wanted to, and he said, God, help me. Most of us don't get in half the trouble that we want to because we can't afford to. David could have. And he groaned in his spirit, and it was his desire to not desire those things. But he was honest and he was real about it. And again, too, I don't say this to be unkind. I don't say this to be self-righteous of myself. But I think sometimes we just act like we don't. And we do. We act like we don't desire those things. And we act like we're removed from the. And maybe because I deal with RU and inmate and a lot of people who are just the homeless, just real right there. Like, no, people tell you the things that they're struggling with and you wish they wouldn't. Like, but that's where they're at. And they're being real and they're being honest. They're not coming to you and saying, oh, yeah, I wish I read 45 Bible chapters. They're like, I wish I didn't get drunk in front of my kids. Yeah, I bet you don't. We need to move forward. We need to be honest. Verse number 6 of chapter number 39, so it should just be a page over. Excuse me, 40, chapter 40 in verse number 6. The Bible says this, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. And the sacrifices and the offering are the religious, if I can say it this way, the religious trappings of traditional Judaism. Again, they're not trapped, they're not fake. And again, we know all the point and all the purposes, and they're a shadow and a type of the things that come. But David says through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by the word of God, over and over and over again, I don't care about the offerings. You would think, well, then what in the world is Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy about? He seems to really care about the offerings, but then he tells us in Psalms, and he tells us in Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, I don't care about the offerings. And Jesus Christ himself said, it's not about the offerings. It's not about the offerings. And isn't that the first thing that we think it's about? It's about the offerings. He's already telling we ought to come to church, and it's about getting a haircut, and it's about doing this, and it's about doing. It's not about doing anything, and that's not what he desires. God doesn't desire. Always people get all upset about money. I say, God don't need your money. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. This is David speaking of God. God doesn't desire those things. What does he desire? Mine ear hast thou opened. And it's interesting because this word opened, and again too, if you go back and you look at some of the Levitical law in relation to slavery and the other different things, again, a lot to get into here. We don't have time, but you could. When a Hebrew became a slave, he was supposed to be set free after 7 years. If he liked it a whole bunch and wanted to continue doing that, then they would take him to the door and they would bore a hole through his ear, and then it would be a mark that that person had submitted themselves to slavery. There's some idea that maybe there's some back and forth on whether or not that's what this is talking about, or just opened in the sense that we use opened in a not an allegorical, but in kind of metaphorical sense. Is it? What is the metaphor here? I think both are fairly applicable. He doesn't desire sacrifice and offerings. He desires obedience. He desires us to submit to the servanthood that we are called to, and we were given an example by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he desires. He doesn't desire your money. He doesn't desire your time to come to church. He desires you to be a servant. It's worse than you thought. That's what he desires. But also in the book of Isaiah chapter 50 in verse number 4 and 5, he speaks about awakeneth my ear, and he also speaks about opening my ear, and it seems to be more in the sense of listen up, open your ears. Told you I used to go to AA, and I liked their sayings. They had a saying that says you need to open your ears and shut your mouth. Maybe that's what some of us need to do as God begins to move and work in the desires of our heart. To give us our desires of our heart, maybe we need to open our ears, allow our ear to be open to what it is that God has for us, open our ears and shut our mouth. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou required not. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm 73 and verse number 25. Psalm 73 and 25. The Bible says this, "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." None upon the earth that I desire beside thee. And when I preached this for the sermon for the first time in a college and career Sunday school class, I don't know if you're familiar with college and career Sunday school class. College and career Sunday school class is the apocalyptic wasteland in between the teen group where you're having fun and having a good time, and before they let you into the adult with the real cool, what do they call them, young married couples classes and all those other different things where everybody wants to be, and that's where you got to be. You're not in high school and you ain't married, so you got to be here. They don't call them singles classes, they call them college and career class. That was the class that I was in, and I was actually engaged, so I was on my way out of the college and career class, which is where everybody wants to be, and that's often the age group people usually from like 19 to 24, whenever people get married and or whatever it may be going on. That's usually the bracket there. And when I originally preached this sermon, I knew that that was a thought on a lot of the people's minds there is, how do I get out of this Sunday school class? There's only one way out of that Sunday school class. You got to get married. And so what they had a goal in mind, but they went about using all their energies and efforts to obtain a spouse. And isn't that what we do, right? When we're in that age, when we don't have one, you really want to get one, and then you wonder why you did all that. And I'm just teasing. But going about to obtain a spouse, that was their end goal. That was their desire. And the point, and that's what we're trying to do. We're always trying to go about and obtain this thing, and we miss the mark. And the Bible tells us in the book of Mark chapter, well, that worked out pretty good. And actually, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Same thing as this verse right here. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." And again, this is one of my penciled in notes. It's how I got my wife. And that's what I was trying to teach and trying to encourage that class. I knew that they desired that marriage relationship. And I believe the only way that I was able to obtain it is I got a wife because I sought God. And the only way that you're going to get whatever it is that you're desiring, and again, get back to my illustration about the pistol, the only way, I don't want a pistol, I want safety and security, and I want those other different things. The only way that I'm going to obtain safety and security is trust God. And whatever it is, if you feel you're struggling with overeating or addictions or all these other different things, whatever it is that you're trying to obtain, the only way that you're going to obtain that is by seeking God. And then you'll realize, like this verse says, there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. And when you restore and you renew and you build that relationship the way that it's supposed to be, you've probably heard people say, if this relationship's right, all these relationships will be right. When you realize, I don't have any on this earth, and again, too, it even applies with your children, with your family, with all these other different things. You think, I'm not where I should be with my kids. I'm not. And again, too, you seek God, God will teach you how to be a good father. God will teach you how to be a witness. God will teach you how to interact with the people in your work. You want all these other different things, all these other ways out there. But again, too, He's the answer. God is the answer. None on the earth that I desire beside thee. You want to see your kids saved and your grandkids saved and all those. You want to see people who are wayward back in church. Don't seek them. And that's what we think we need to do. We need to seek them and reach out to them and do all these other things. No, seek Him. Enlist Him. Make Him your desire, and He will give you those that you desire. Those people that you got out there that you know and that you love and that you desire. You can't do anything for them. You can't. And I think we all know that. We're just not honest with ourselves. But my friend, He can. He can do everything for them, just like He's done everything for you. Seek Him, and He'll take care of them. Whoever they are, isn't that what they say? He'll take care of them, whoever them is. That's not very good English. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms 145 and verse number 16. And those of you who know your Bible, you can get excited because you're like, man, Psalm 145, there can't be that many more of them. How many of them is there? Like, you know, we got to be almost done. Psalm 145 and verse number 16. And actually, when I originally preached this, I used to be a long-winded preacher. You guys say you used to be. I went into the book of Proverbs as well. So I did Psalms and Proverbs. And then I thought, man, Sunday school is not supposed to be 55 minutes long. So I had to trim this one down. We just kept it to the book of Psalms here. Psalms, and this is a good one to end on. Psalm 145 and verse number 16. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. He satisfies the desire of them. That means the birds and the whales and the cows and chickens and snakes and cicadas and I mean all of them things. He takes care of all those things. He satisfies all their desires. That's amazing. And I'm a living thing, so I believe he'd satisfy. And he opens his hand. And it's interesting because it says here, satisfiest. And who knows what satisfies? Snickers. Man, isn't that what they say? Snickers, they satisfy. Hey, man, they do. They're just wonderful. Except when you buy the little ones, because then it just seems to take a whole lot more of them to satisfy. But Snickers are good. You can get an amen or not. There you go. And that's what I think about when I think about satisfy. I think about Snickers. And I thought, man, you know, that's wonderful. Those are good. Snickers ice cream is good, too. I mean, you could put Snicker in about anything and make it good. And you can put God into anything, into any situation, and he'll make it good. And again, too, even when we talk about these desires of our heart, he may not give you this thing, even this circumstance, even this relationship, even this the person, like whatever it is that you desire, when you bring God into the thing, it's him who satisfies you. And that only comes from that relationship that you seek with him. When you seek him and only him, you become satisfied with all those other, those things don't matter. It's like when you're hungry, you eat a Snickers, why wait? And then you don't worry about all that other stuff. Trust God and seek God and become satisfied. Make God your desire and God will satisfy you and God will resolve all these other issues. And if God doesn't resolve them the way that you see fit, when he satisfies your desires, you'll see that he was right all along. How many of y'all have seen that God is right all along and then you forget about it and get all worried and messed up about it again next time? Just remember, he's right all along. Well, we forget that and then he reminds us of it and he does that over and over and over again and satisfies us. He satisfies my desires. I'll never be satisfied. You know, I was talking about getting a gun, any gun. You're never satisfied. This is awesome. Never come to my wife and said, well, we're done now, honey. This is just the one. And he ain't never said, you know, ladies with your shoes and purses. He ain't said, well, this is the one. This is the one. It's always the one until you get it. And again, too, it's that way with relationships. It's the way with drugs of abuse and whatever it is. It's always the one until you get it. But when you get a hold of this one, verse number 19, because not only will he satisfy, verse number 19 says this, he will fulfill. I mean fulfill. That's in the Hebrew. Fulfill, fulfill, filled up. He'll fill it up. Fulfill the desire of them that fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but he will fulfill you like nothing else. I've not accomplished much in my life in the way I didn't graduate from high school. I didn't do a lot of different. Actually, the first thing I ever graduated was Reformers Unanimous. And you don't usually go around telling people the first thing you ever graduated was an addictions recovery program. And that was fulfilling. But not like fulfilling like the relationship that I had and that what God moves and what God does in my life. And when I turn more and more of my desires over to him, I'm fulfilled. Because even though that RU thing, I mean, you get this big, huge medallion and it's just wonderful and all those other different things, you just put it away, and whether you use a sports ball, football, hockey, you know, whatever it is that you, whatever this thing you accomplished, what does it really matter now? Nothing. But that God, he fulfills the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry and will save them. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, that's what you ought to desire, my friend. You ought to desire to have a relationship with the Creator God who created this whole world, and that world fell into sin, and God provided Himself. He provided Himself a lamb. He provided an answer to the problem. And the answer to the problem that every man, woman, and child on this earth faces is the need of a Savior, and that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what your desires are. You say, I struggle with this, or I struggle with that. No, my friend, you struggle with a desire. You desire to know the Creator God who loved you and sent His Son to redeem you. That's what you struggle with. That's your desire. And you say, no, it's this, no, it's that. No, my friend, it's not. You desire to know God. And Christian, you know why you're frustrated, and you know why you're all the thing? Because you desire to know God. And you desire to have a relationship with the Father like you should. And you're messing around and you're involved in all these other different things and you're back and forth and all the, that's the problem. That's the problem in your life and in mine. He will save us. He will fulfill us. And He will satisfy us. And I don't know about you, but that's exactly what I need. If I could have every head bowed and every eyes closed as I prepare to turn it over to your preacher for a time of invitation. Again, the invitation has been made that the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. And we sang the song, He'll fulfill your every longing. Whatever that longing is, whatever that desire is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer, my friend. And He is the provision that has been made. And I ask you, encourage you, and invite you to seek Him as we have this time.